This episode comes equipped with timestamps, so utilize them accordingly because we talk about a lot. First, we talk about Monique Samuels not being involved in Love and Marriage DC. And so if you're not interested in that, skip it. Then we talk about White Lotus. And if you don't care about that or you don't want spoilers, skip it. Then we talk about Family Karma. And I mean, I'm assuming you're here for that since that's the title of this episode. But I guess you can skip that too. But then what did you even come here for, you know? But yeah, timestamps are in the description. Also, Patreon, it's launching December 12th officially. And I'm launching with 3 full episodes of the Vanderpump Rules Season 3 recap. Episodes 1 through 3 will be live on the Patreon, ready for the launch. Pia and I are having a blast, let me tell you. It's a lot of fun going back to those good old days when they were poor and still actually working at Sir. Episode description will also have those pricings and like what you get and all that stuff. So if you're interested in that, check it out down there too. And I think that's it. I don't need to do any more businessy stuff. Let's just get into the episode. I hope you enjoy it. Okay, Kendrick, before we talk about White Lotus, yes. I need to talk about Monique Samuels.
Good Lord.
Oh. I know. I'm sure. Did you already talk about this?
We went over, of course. The day I put my episode out is when she wants to make her little statement as to why she decided not to come back. Girl, nobody believes that.
Well, okay. So in case you missed it, any viewers or listeners, in case you missed it, people noted that in the Love and Marriage DC season 2 promos, there's no sign of Chris or Monique.
None.
Now, mind you, they were supposed to be in this season. Yep. I predicted she was going to come out with some statement about how it's just not right for her family and her marriage or whatever. Her statement was and is that the contract wasn't right. And, quote, somebody leaked this divorce rumor. But my question is, that somebody was Ashley Darby at BravoCon, and that somebody said that she heard it from Monique, and that somebody, Ashley Darby, is still tight with Monique. They were just in some little TikTok reel type of thing just a couple days ago. So when she's like, I don't know who leaked it, she had an implying tone that it was like Carlos King or someone on the Love and Marriage DC crew. And I was like, but it was you.
Right.
What are we talking about?
That was my biggest issue with Monique season 5. I always had an issue with her because she had to be the perfect housewife, the perfect mother, the perfect cast member. And it was so obnoxiously fake that I was like, why are you on this show? Like, it made no sense to me. I was not one of the ones that was like, oh my god, we need Monique on this show. Never felt like that. I was
and
like,
that girl, is you can... before season 5. This is not take the pretend the fight Wave never right, happened yes. guys. I didn't like Monique before that, so please don't go to this place of like the fight. Please take the fight out of it.
Right, because they can't, because that's when most people started watching. But
anyway. Exactly. Anyway, continue.
But that was always my biggest issue with her. But then when the fight happened, season 5, an entire year, literally an entire year from when that fight happened until when the day that fight aired, she had gone on this campaign online telling an entirely different narrative and telling us what happened. Oh my God, they attacked me first. And oh no, they threw something at me and thus I had to defend myself and all this kind of stuff. And Candace is so aggressive and like all this stuff. And then once we saw the footage, we were like, I don't think Candace did any of that to you.
I wasn't paying attention to social media from the Potomac ladies prior to that. Mm-hmm. So I missed like her narrative going into it.
It was bad. Remember, they got into it on the show because they were like, why is she putting out there that all this different stuff happened? It's like, I don't remember any of that either.
When you're watching it, like, so when you watch it in the order of watching the fight and then hearing about the social, like, it's different than only seeing the social media and only having that as your reference and then mm-hmm. seeing the actual fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait a minute. No. No. And I don't get me wrong. She was hit with the, like, something hit her and cut her lip and all of that stuff. It was a tussle.
Right.
But when it was, I can't even go down this road.
I know. It's so much.
I hear myself and I'm like, I can't. taking that out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to the fight, even though it was, she just had to be so perfect. Like the season where her drinking comes into question.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they got real messy about it because that's what housewives do. As soon as they see a little chink in the armor, they're like, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, like, she was really drunk a few times. And yeah. She was just really strange about it. Like, she couldn't admit that she was really drunk. Mm-hmm. And she wouldn't, like, allow herself to have been like, yeah, I know I got wasted last night. But it wasn't funny, like, with Karen, where Karen would be in straight denial about it.
Right.
It was like she just, I just never connected to her. I also don't understand because she's super, like, conspiracy theorist. Wasn't she QAnon?
Like anti-vax and like just all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So when I get confused when I see the people who do go for her and like stan her, I'm like, but you're not also anti-vax QAnon. So I don't know. Maybe they mm-hmm. don't know.
Right. And I have to remember that sometimes too, because we are like a small population of the viewers that watch this. Like we have to keep up with like certain stuff, but the average viewer isn't engaging online. They're just literally tuning in on Sundays, seeing what they see on TV, and then moving on.
Yeah,
so it was
true.
Like she literally had the opportunity to kind of craft her own story online for the people that were going to be like the people that mattered, really, because they're the people that's going to be like engaging with her online, either sending her negative stuff or sending her positive stuff. So she had an entire year to kind of just spin this story, and this, I promise, this isn't like a I'm team Candace, I'm team Monique thing. It was literally like me sitting back like, oh my god, that happened? Like, oh, that happened too? Oh my god. And then all, because it was, I'll never go back down the road, but it was so much that was coming out over the year. She was doing interview after interview, live after live, and then when we saw the fight, it was like, girl, okay, girl. Like
because you came back. You came back and had to be held back and like you really left a lot out mm-hmm. of your interviews. Like it was a lot.
It's a lot.
So now her not doing how much money did you need? What wasn't working in the contract? You're not the biggest gift to reality television.
Despite what she may think.
She's so difficult. Like, she wants the fame of reality television, but she doesn't want to actually be on reality television.
She doesn't want to do the work. It's crazy.
It's so frustrating.
She wants to be NeNe Leakes without giving any NeNe Leakes moments. It's like, what are you doing?
That's exactly. What has she really done that's that iconic for reality television?
Nothing.
She doesn't want to show her ass ever, and that's part of it.
Right.
Everything was so controlled and so perfect and don't call her out on anything. And she didn't give me enough funny one-liners, funny quotes. I don't even know how many funny quotes are there of hers. Nothing's even popping up. Hold on.
No. Drag you pregnant at all. It's probably the thing that I associate mostly with her. But that's...
And I got... Nothing comes to my head.
No. And the binder. I feel like that was her big moment, but...
Oh, the binder wasn't even anything.
Right.
The binder ended up being a really big disappointment. So I am very, very mad at her because she takes too much from reality TV. Like she acts mm-hmm. like she's given so much to reality TV.
Right.
But she really talk to everybody. It's everybody who's been on reality TV. That's what happens in reality TV.
Yeah.
The fuck did you think you were signing up for?
It's so this whole situation was just weird to me because this
Yeah.
One, I guess she thought, I don't know, the way she's telling it, because I don't believe any of this, by the way, but the way she's telling it is the money wasn't right, the contract wasn't right. So I don't know, they were demanding stuff, I guess, and I guess Owen wasn't willing to meet this, and so it's time to walk away. And it was like, well, no offense, but it was really the Silvas and Winter that did the heavy lifting season one. Not really Monique Samuels. I think, my personal opinion, I think you showed up to another reality show for some odd reason, thinking you were going to get on a Carlos King show and get the perfect edit, and it just didn't happen. And I think now that you, I think there's more going on with this marriage than anyone knows. And I think that now, I don't think she thinks that her marriage could survive another season on TV. It's honestly what I think.
I'm right there with you, because she looked like the bigger problem in that marriage this past season. Mm-hmm. He looked like he was putting in the work. He looked like he was making changes. He would adjust his communication style. He was quoting their therapist left and right and saying, and I hear you and I'm adjusting. And she wasn't. And she's going to try to blame editing in her head, I'm sure. But she once again didn't come out looking like this perfect person like she wants to look. And I think that she once again wants to, she thought she was going to do this and it was going to be like, oh, wow, Monique really wasn't the problem on Potomac. It really was all the other women. But I feel like a lot of people were like, I think Monique is the problem in her marriage. And I'm kind of feeling like Monique actually might have been the problem on Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
The fight was very unfortunate because it became such a, because Candace, you know, like Candace like was just a polarizing person. And so it became a bigger conversation about other things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had not had that fight, I really wonder how much longer Monique would have even lasted on reality TV, on Housewives.
She couldn't have been on that show past season five because of the binder. Because at that point, you had alienated yourself so much that you literally only would have been filming with Karen and Ashley, maybe. And that was it. Nobody, it wasn't even to the point where the girls didn't like you. It was to the point where they didn't want to film with you. So it's like, I don't want to.
She
like,
wasn't cool with Wendy because Wendy and Candace are tight. That's right. Yep. You're right. You're right.
The whole thing. Candace, obviously, because of the physical fight, didn't want to be with her. The Green Eyed Bandits, they, you know, were friends with her at the beginning of the season, but after the fight.
But they... let's say the fight didn't happen. Let's take the fight out of it. Mm-hmm. How many more seasons could Monique have even lasted trying to curate her perfect image? Like, they were going to keep, because let's face it, they tried to dig up rumors on the marriage. Monique burned a lot of bridges outside of the group. That's why she had that friend coming for her. You know, like Charisse knew that, you know what I mean? Like, so it wasn't like she was safe even outside of the group of the cast. You know, she's got people coming for her because she pissed a lot of people off, clearly. So I feel like she wouldn't have even lasted much longer.
I don't take the binder out of the equation. I think
I'd give her one more season. At best, I would have given her to season six, and then because that's what they do. They keep doing what they do. They keep being messy, and she just takes it so seriously and acts like it's the only happening to her when it happens to all of them. They do it to each other. Literally, every single one of them does it to each other.
But that really shows you who's built for it, because like Ashley Darby literally has been getting cheated on left and right in front of us and getting embarrassed like to new limits in front of our eyes every single season. And she's still there. I will say she's defended Michael through a lot of this crap, but she's also had those confrontations with him on camera to that point too. So I get that. I get confronting your husband, but putting on a united front in front of the group. So like that, I'm like, okay, fine with that. But literally everyone, people have come for Candace because, you know, she's quote unquote you know, everyone claims they want to see black opulence and they want to see generational wealth and all this stuff. But then when they get it in Candace, it's a problem because, oh, you're spoiled. You're a brat. You know, you're this, you're that.
That's so it's a like, good point.
It's always. So it's like we've seen everyone on this show. How many times have people clowned Giselle about her dating life or her fashions
right?
Or Robin and Juan for, oh, are y'all together? Are you not together? What's this? Are y'all broke? Are y'all not broke? It's
Thank
like
you.
Everyone has their turn in the hot seat. Whether you can handle it or not, I don't know, but time will tell.
And so then she goes to Love and Marriage DC where she's like, and here's where they're going to respect my marriage. And they tried.
Mm-hmm.
They just showed it for what it was. It's not their fault that you are actually not working on yourself. You could see she kept wanting the therapist to be like, Chris, you're still the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, no, he's working on it. Mm-hmm. You're not budging. She's like, you don't get it. You're not saying what I want you to say. We all saw it. We all did. So, oh, God, she infuriates me to no end.
It's a lot. But it ends up we're going to have to talk about her anymore since she's not on reality TV anymore. So
she was not meant for it. So good riddance.
There we go. There we go.
All right, let's talk about what?
Wait, let me ask you before we get into White Lotus.
You did that to scare me.
How about before we get into White Lotus, which, oh my God, such a good episode. But do you think that I'd say she was probably the draw for a lot of people for the first season.
Oh, I know.
You know, people that are, you know, they're people are loyal to the franchise. So like people that watch Huntsville will probably watch DC still too. But I'm wondering, do you think there's enough? Because I was questioning this first season when she was there. So like, do you think there's enough, I don't know, enough to where we would watch this live on Saturday nights?
No.
It's really Ashley Silva. And then I'm like, I don't know what else there is.
I will absolutely watch it when I can.
Right.
But it's
exactly.
Not appointment viewing anymore.
Right. It's hard anyway for Saturday night TV anyway.
Exactly.
It's hard, but, you know, Huntsville, at least, like, if I was home, I'm going to be like, oh, Huntsville's about to come on. Let's watch. Oh, Bell Collective. It's a whole night. Let's just, you know, let's watch all the own shows. But, child, DC, especially, okay.
Carlos Huntsville, must be so mad.
I know. I need to know what's going through his head. Cause
he's like, you fucking bitch.
I'm wondering, like, do you, it kind of scares me a little bit because Huntsville, they shot the reunion a while ago. So this season is about to end. Do you think they're going to just let DC be a standalone already? Like, not with a lead in? That's kind of wild to me.
I mean, that's risky.
Yeah.
Well, so they're just starting filming on DC? Is that what's happening?
No, they premiere in January.
Okay, so wait, that's what's confusing to me. It's just so wild to me that now Monique is announcing she's not doing the show. It's just really hard for me to wrap my head around that.
Makes me wonder, though. I don't know why I didn't think about this, but do you think she was blindsided by the promo they dropped?
That's what I'm kind of thinking.
Ooh.
Like, I'm thinking that they filmed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, can they film without a contract signed? I don't think they can.
I think that's
the problem. I think that's
remember
why,
Sheree,
like,
when they were like,
Nene,
yes.
Like Sheree,
they were like, girl, get over there. They're across the street filming. Like, hurry up.
Like, hurry, run, because she just finally signed. So, I don't know.
It's a lot of questions.
I have so many questions. This was just handled so strange.
It was. Now that I think about it, though, I think I'm convinced that she was blindsided by that promo. Because I don't know if she had any intention of... I think she was still trying to work out her contract. Like, I think...
How the hell did she think that was going to work out, though, if they're premiering in January?
Right. It's crazy.
How is she not doing
the
math?
It's crazy. Ashley's been saying, she's like, well, I saw her the other day, but you know, we weren't filming and stuff like that. But she's like, yeah, I've been filming since, you know, however long. So I'm like, child, okay.
I just have so many questions. And now I'm wondering if they dropped these scandalous promos and are letting all this PR happen in order to get us to watch. Mm. Like, kind of like a nice PR move. Because we're all talking about it.
It's true.
And now, because I'm curious how they're going to handle it. I'm curious if they're going to even address it.
Right.
So maybe this, because I will watch the premiere in real time now. Like, just because I'm curious. Oh, maybe this was what they did. Maybe they did it on purpose.
Oh, it looked like it worked.
It's like now I'm like, huh. Mm-hmm. At least maybe Carlos, it does feel like she was blindsided.
Right.
And maybe she didn't realize how soon they were turning it around.
I was about to say, but I don't think it was like a blindside of, okay, she not doing nothing. Screw her. I think it was like, we have literally been trying to get her to sign this contract for months.
Yeah.
Like, we have no choice. We've got to move on at this point. And they were like, let's move on.
And they dropped the promo.
They dropped the promo.
I really would. In my head, let's just imagine it that way. In my head, someone was like, Monique, did you know that you're not in the promo? And she's like, uh-huh. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. And she has to pretend she didn't. And then so now she's doing this like really rushed, I didn't want to sign the contract. It just wasn't for me. No hard feelings bullshit. God, I wish Carlos was messy enough to come out and say shit.
I know.
But he's too, this, you can't, with contracts and stuff like that, this just, it's a domino effect. Once you start talking shit like that, too many people will come out of the, over the years, mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of shit like this has happened. You can't start going down that road.
Exactly. And then she'll come back and she'll be like, no, that ain't what happened and all like this. Then you start a whole war and it's like, child, let's just go out peacefully.
But yeah, so many questions. I wonder if they were slated to maybe come out, maybe it was slated to premiere a little later, so she thought she had more time, so maybe that she was going to be able to film.
It's got to be something. It doesn't
fully track, but
right.
It does feel like they're really putting a lot of pressure on it, but it could, this whole thing could be a PR move, because I'm definitely tuning into the premiere to see if they talk about it at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I need to know everything.
I'm in.
I mean, granted, I was going to watch anyway because, you know, that's my orbit. I love to own shows, but, you know, DC, you don't try it. You better give me a good season or I will. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's her name? The one that's so funny? Ashley?
Ashley Silva, yeah.
She is so funny.
That's the star
of
the show.
She can carry a show.
But they also need to bring, see, that's the thing, though, because Winter was a big part of season one. Like, she
and
really
she's not in it, right?
I don't know. That's the thing. You know, she was kind of a friend of first season, but she was Monique's friend. So now, like, the other girls hate her. So it's like,
yeah, she's not going to be their friend.
I don't know.
Unless Carlos is able to convince them, like, just trust me, let her show up to some events and cause trouble.
Right.
Just trust me.
They need Winter if they're going to do it. I don't know.
They need Winter. Or they need someone else. Like, let me bring in another
dynamic
enemy.
Yeah.
You just need an enemy. You just have to. Otherwise, it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
Although that one husband of what's her name, the other couple, oh, he is terrible.
Jamie. Yeah.
Good. Jamie is awful.
I actually recently unfollowed him on social media. He just kind of annoyed me. I'm like, shut up.
He is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now can we talk about White Lotus?
Absolutely.
So many things to talk about.
So many things.
So, okay, number one, the first thing. Mm-hmm. We were correct in that Cameron did have sex with Lucia in Ethan's room. Mm-hmm. So it is plausible that the condom was accidentally left. However, mm-hmm.
You like our theory more.
I like our, or the theory that someone put on. Okay, I need to remind everyone, I will believe every theory that's presented to me. Every single theory that's for that, I'm like, yep, that's it. Like, if I was at a murder, if I was at a murder mystery dinner, I would just be walking around like, it's him.
Right.
It's her.
He did
it. This guy.
He and did it's it.
That, everyone would be the murderer. So I, it could be that it was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
But it could also be, okay, so here's my other theory. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think Ethan could be the killer.
Ooh.
Hear me out.
Okay.
The way Ethan.
I have a theory about him too, so I'll go after you.
Okay, because like Ethan's got like that darkness, he's not comfortable accessing. Mm-hmm. You know, like the jacking off and like not wanting to fuck Harper. It's like, why
Wait
are
a minute.
You not?
I think they relate. You know what I think that darkness is?
What? Gay. Hidden, he's gay.
Hidden homosexuality. He's afraid to be. And they're gonna looks like they're gonna get into it next week because she says like we're not even talking about the fact that you don't like to have sex with me, you're not attracted to me, whatever it was, and it's like. Something is, I don't know, I get vibes that him and Cameron were more than just friends like they say they used to be, but I feel like Cameron was the straight curious guy and Ethan was like the guy that kind of clung on and was like, you know, this could potentially be my husband one day, even though this is a straight man who, you know, might not, you know, da-da-da-da-da.
Okay, I can leave space for that for sure. I can leave space. I don't get a gay vibe. I get a guy who is addicted to porn. Which is a segment of straight men.
Mm-hmm.
That is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because like overconsumption of porn for straight men has like it totally fucks them up. Doesn't like Drake say he has a problem with porn? Isn't that like one of the things Drake says?
Well, his baby's mother is, you know,
okay,
a star. Well, maybe I don't know.
But it's like there was a whole movie that Joseph Gordon-Levitt was the lead in.
Oh my god!
And Julianne
with
Moore,
Scarlett Johansson, and
oh, I thought it was Julianne. Yeah, and then Julianne Moore ends up being his girlfriend and like teaching him like, okay, stop trying to fuck women like a porn.
What was the name of that movie?
What was Good the God. Name of it?
I'm about to tell you because I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it really, hold on, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
No.
Filmography. And it was Don John.
Don John, that's it. Yep.
Don John. I guess I would recommend it. It's not one of the best movies in town, but it's okay. Decent.
Gets the job done.
It gets the job done. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to this whole thing where like he has sex with women exactly like in a porn.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's they're made for guys to, you know, get off. And so mm-hmm. then he meets Julianne Moore, who's like, this is trash. Like, no woman is actually enjoying this.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I get that vibe from Ethan that he was like this nerdy smart guy who never got mm-hmm. laid. And so he's been like jacking off and like can't actually like
perform
mm-hmm. for a woman. And so Harper seems kind of like asexual in a way, like she's not like super sexual, so like even though she's like trying to like be, I don't even think she's attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like I don't get the vibe that she's turned on by him either.
I think she's probably a lot more attracted to Cameron, but she doesn't want to admit it because he's intellectually yes! not yes! where she is.
And
I
she
kind of
hates him because mm-hmm. she's like, fuck, he's hot, but I hate mm-hmm. him. I hate that he's hot and I hate that I want to fuck him.
Yeah.
Right? Because mm-hmm. he's like an asshole. Like, fuck you. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
But like the way Ethan handled, like, why wouldn't Ethan want to tell Harper, like, oh my God, dude, when you were in Noto, he got me fucked up and mm-hmm. fucked a hooker. Why wouldn't he tell her that?
Right. It's not like she's going to run back and just tell the girlfriend out of nothing. No, you caused the situation by not telling her in the first place.
That's
your problem.
Like, that's that would be the best time for her to find out, like, yes, you were right. They're not really happy. Mm-hmm. He totally fucks hookers. Like, mm-hmm. I can't believe I was in a really uncomfortable position. That's why I'm throwing up. Like, why wouldn't this be a conversation? But then the gaslighting that he does, the way he's like, actually, technically, you should thank me. You should be happy. Like, hold on. I like screenshot it.
Such a Ralph Pittman. Oh my God.
Such a Ralph. He's like, honestly, I kind of think you should feel good about this. And then don't make a bigger deal out of this than it is. Please. Okay. I didn't do anything. I'm not lying to you. I was like, okay, so you actually are you're worse than Cameron in a way, because mm-hmm. Cameron is like an openly fucked up person.
Mm-hmm.
You're the secret fucked up person. And so now that, and when Harper starts, she's like spiraling and he's like, I feel like he could snap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. So me and Zell on my new episode, we theorized that the person, so we didn't know who was going to do the killing, but we theorized it was going to be either Lucia or her friend Mia, one of the two sex workers that have been just like running through everybody, because I feel like,
you think one of them is going to be killed?
I feel like it's getting real messy. I don't know.
Now, see, doesn't that seem too easy?
It does.
I just don't want to be tricked. I'm like, they're trying to trick us. And this is why I overthink it, though, because I'm like, I always get tricked. I'm like, we're going to get ahead of this, Kendrick. They're not going to get us, okay?
See, I feel like, okay, this is just like my own theory. I just feel like we're expecting like this huge like climax. And I feel like it's going to be something like, Cameron is going to be pissed off about something and she's going to confront him again about the money that he owes her, and he's just going to like turn around and hit her so hard by accident.
Cameron is mm-hmm. going to be mad about the money that Lucia is going to say, okay, got it. Here's another thing. Mm-hmm. You know how when Lucia asks him for this money and he keeps going, $1,300, that's nothing. I'll just go to the bank. I feel like maybe he doesn't have money. Maybe he's secretly broke.
Running out. Yes. Yeah, uh-huh. Keeping up with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And so maybe this is also some, that's why he's so desperate to get Ethan's money to invest, because he's probably pulling a Ponzi scheme. Because remember earlier he was like, you should have told me that you were like selling your company or whatever. And he's like, that's illegal. He's like, well, you know, like that's what we do. You know? So, mm-hmm. you know, maybe he's been fucking doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Yep.
Also,
okay,
I don't think that the gay guy, Quentin, is going to kill Tanya. I don't think the plan is to kill Tanya.
I'm confused by all of this. So please give me whatever your theory is. I don't know.
Okay. So here's what I finally, because I watched it again with like, because I just go on to the account. Shout out to the account, The Reality Bitch, by the way, because I
love
literally
her.
Just go to her account and mm-hmm. like look through her Twitter finds. So this is where she got the theory that when Quentin has his little monologue after the opera with Tanya, where he talks about how he fell in love with a straight cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
The theory is that that straight cowboy is Greg, aka mm-hmm. Tanya's shitty husband. And that's who Greg was on the phone with when Greg was like, yeah, she's clueless. She doesn't know. I'll get on a plane tomorrow. And Greg is now gone.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidentally, the day Greg leaves, these gay guys show up and whisk her off her feet, and we all fell for it. We're like, of course gay guys would love Tanya. Duh.
Right.
But isn't it so perfect that he also happens to have a young nephew, I'm putting that in quotes, mm-hmm. a young nephew to distract Tanya's assistant, Portia,
mm-hmm.
who this Greg guy knows, like she just wants to get laid in Italy. So perfect. Well, Jack, go do that.
Yep.
So perfectly distracting Portia. Tanya's just like a mark. I think Greg is just trying to get her money somehow.
Okay.
I'm hoping to God it's not, I don't think she, they're not going to kill her because my, I'm thinking they plan on doing more of these seasons.
Yeah.
And if you get rid of her, you lose the whole show.
Right.
And it
you gotta
makes
have
sense.
Tanya.
It makes sense to have her last throughout everything because she's kind of like the idiot that somehow keeps surviving.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I don't think she, my fear though is Portia could somehow die. Doesn't it feel like she could die?
I you know what? I don't know why, but like I always say, like I'm like theorize who could die, but I always come back to her for some
reason.
Portia
could die.
I don't know why. You know what? I just feel
it feels like it.
I feel like because, okay, I know everyone is trying to turn me against Albie. It hasn't happened yet, okay, people? I'm just letting y'all know. Everyone's trying to turn me against Albie, and I
no,
just feel like
I don't
we,
feel it.
I just feel like we as the audience, they're trying to make it seem like, okay,
She's
not as good of a person. Like, think about what she did to your boy over there. She literally went and got with this dude who's fucking his uncle, and now he, you know, she's trying to make it seem like, oh, you know, we're just friends. We were never going to be anything, yada, 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 all this kind of stuff. And now, boom, you wind up dead. You ain't fooling me. You ain't fooling me.
Yeah, see, because poor... So, basically, what Kendrick and I are saying is anyone could die.
Right.
Okay.
And anyone can be the killer, basically.
Anyone, what we've just done is say everyone so far we've mentioned could be the killer and could die.
Yep. Pretty
much. Following? Are you following everybody?
Which makes for a great show because
exactly.
I'm enthralled, okay?
Another question to think about. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know when Lucia and Albie are like walking through Italy and that Alessio guy... Is there?
Yes.
Was that staged, do you think?
I kept going back and forth because I was like, oh, this is real convenient. Like,
right?
Especially after he brought up the fact that, like, you don't have a pimp, do you? And now it's like this pimp-esque type situation is happening right in front of you. So it's now it's like, oh, let me give you all of my money so that you'll be okay and you can get away from this guy and I'll just go back broke to my mom and, you know, who my dad hates and like, oh, it's a lot. I feel you. I'm
like,
I don't know what to think about that.
She figured out real quick that he's an easy mark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as he, like, the awkwardness of the post-sex, do you have my money? Like, let me just tell you something. Mm-hmm. As someone who has had to ask for their money for their services. Like, I had a friend who I did their makeup for something, and
I did not know where the story was going. I was like, wait, what do you mean?
I really set that up weird. I'm glad I did though. That way, I hope everyone was on this journey. Like,
right.
Where is she going with this? I did her makeup for something, and then I had to tell her like, okay, so $50. Like, I'd already told her that I was going to charge her.
Mm-hmm.
That was uncomfortable. I can't imagine finishing up the sex and being like, do you have my money? And so bold and ballsy. But when she realizes that he legit didn't know she was a hooker, she knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's been paying attention to everybody. She immediately was like, but, you know, never mentioned this pimp before. That's for sure. We have never heard mention of said pimp. She's not once been over to him. So he's not real at all.
Right.
Okay. Because we've seen everything they've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that. I think that she just knew this guy and said, we're going to be walking through. You're going to see me and we're going to have a little fake fight on the streets. I'll cut you in for a little money.
All of this, it seems so convenient because if I were a sex worker, and I feel like we've seen it happen with multiple people now, if I were a sex worker, I wouldn't wait until the end and then tell you, oh, by the way, you got to pay me for this. Like, what? Didn't she establish it up front with the dad? And like, he knew who they were, right? Or was it not discussed?
Well, that's what I found fascinating. Like, does she just assume everyone in this hotel knows that she's the hooker? Like, I'm the resident hooker. That is me. And she's like, she does, clearly. She's like, if you're getting a date with me, you know what I'm about.
Sheesh.
Shit. I mean, okay. Which is like, what an interesting, she's like, I thought you knew. Like,
right.
Oh, you did?
And I guess
you assumed?
If you're saying, I'm assuming If you're staying at the White Lotus Sicily, then I'm guessing you got it. So exactly. Shouldn't be a problem,
well,
I guess.
Well, she also knew, like, she saw the dad, like she saw his dad, she's watched all of these dynamics. Mm-hmm. She knew exactly who he was.
Oh my God. Okay, so, by the way, we know now that we have 2 episodes left too, by the way. I thought it was going to be 8. So season 1, I think, was 6 episodes.
Oh, so we only get 2 more?
Only 2 more, I think. So we have, God. So it's not too long before this wraps up. I know.
Okay.
We got the mid-season trailer after episode 4, so I assumed there was going to be 8, but 7 makes sense. Okay.
Okay, fine.
Right, we'll take it.
Fine.
Hopefully they're already at work on season 3 so we can get that soon.
Right. I actually do have to say, I think Cameron and Daphne actually do love each other.
Okay.
In a very, like, dysfunctional way.
I think that they are a perfect couple because instead of being the wife that's like, I know what you're doing. I know that smut that you're out there cheating on me and all this stuff. She's like, oh, that's fine. 2 can play that game. And yeah. She just keeps it happy. So I feel like
she says,
anyone,
do what you got to do.
Exactly. Get you a trainer. Hello.
Get you a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I love that. I legit did not even get it. She answered the picture of the kids literally after saying, my trainer's so cute. He has blonde hair and blue eyes, and then hands her a picture of kids with blonde hair and blue eyes. And I'm like, I still don't get it. things go over my head so quickly. Mm. Also Harper's questioning at the winery.
Yes.
I almost feel like she was doing 2 things. She was stoking Ethan's resentment for Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
Like reminding him, like, you hate him. Let's get that going again.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting his old college resentment. Like when he's like, you used to fuck any girl that I said I liked in college because you have mimetic desire, which is when you want something that someone with a higher status has. And he's like, the only thing Cameron hears, by the way, what Daphne goes, ah, Cameron, that's so rude. Like, Daphne, that's a good line.
Right.
That's a good line. But Cameron, the only thing he hears is he's like, you don't have a higher status than me.
Right. That's all he's concerned about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he goes, not then, but I was smarter than you. And then now, clearly, Ethan's richer than him. And so it was almost like Harper was reminding Cameron that, like, he should want to fuck her. It was like Harper was doing so much there.
I loved it.
It was a lot.
It was.
Like him grabbing her leg at the table.
Right.
I was like, ooh. I want them to fuck right now.
I know. He was like, 2 can play this game. So you want to flirt? Let's do it.
He's like, I can do it too. And I can do it better. I was like, get it. Get it now. Get right it now. Right now.
Would love to see it. Thank you.
One of my, because you had a funny Jennifer Coolidge line. One of my favorite Jennifer Coolidge lines was when the captain of the yacht welcomes them on board, and then he goes, welcome, and then she goes, did you knit your little cap?
I love that. Yes.
Brilliant.
Oh my God.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Anything else?
We got the jack of it all. The end, the last scene.
Sorry.
That's okay. What I was waiting to talk. Yes,
that was such a perfectly jarring shot, too.
Right.
Like, they went for it in that
shot. I've got questions. I know. Like, you could almost see, like, pink shadow.
Like, I'm sorry.
It's like, are you actually inside of him? What is happening?
I rewound and paused. I was like, how did they get this?
Oh, my God. I swear to God. If I could get a body like Leo Woodall, aka Jack, I'd either be doing porn, or 2, I would be an actor, and I would be willing to do full frontal, like all the time. Like, I wouldn't care. Like, good Lord. Like, I carved from stone. Jinkies.
So I knew that that was not his uncle and they were not. No, I knew.
I knew it was weird. I had, but I didn't. I didn't. You know what? I knew it wasn't his uncle, but I didn't know it was that. I didn't know he was like a,
agreed. You know, like a little sex toy.
Mm-hmm. So what do we think? Do we think?
Okay.
Do we think that he's not straight? Do you think he's for hire? Do you think he's a kept boy?
When Portia and Jack came up from like being under like on in the bedrooms of the yacht.
Mm-hmm.
Another funny Jennifer Coolidge line. She's like, "You've been having sex on the boat." I notice that Jack goes over and immediately checks in with Quentin.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing you would note at first.
Right. That's some second viewing type shit.
Upon rewatch, I was like, it's almost like he's checking in like, okay, yeah, I got her. Like, she's fully, like, she fully thinks that, like, we're a thing. And she's distracted. And you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I feel like they're just there to scam Tanya.
Okay. So do you think like Jack has been along like for other scams, or do you think he's just like a new addition? Okay. I think he's like
maybe
the rent boy
that stuck
around.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I feel like, because he's so seasoned. Like, mm-hmm. he knows how to keep her entertained. He knows how to have a good time. He's mm-hmm. having a good time. Like, no matter what, he's like, this is totally fun. Like, this right. is not a problem. Mm-hmm. Go to Italian villas and shit and, like, have sex with this chick and keep her distracted. He's like, no problem at all. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this is, like, they're, like, a traveling con artist group.
Right.
You know
the
what
traveling
I mean?
Gays, yes.
Because, like, Greg is such a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember from last season. Greg and Tanya, how did they come about?
Shit, me neither.
I need to review that.
They met at the last White Lotus, but how did they meet?
Because she keeps saying that he thought he was going to die. Didn't he think he had some terminal thing?
Mm-hmm.
So was this just been one long con?
Maybe. Because you don't just go from terminal to not damn terminal.
So maybe it was a long con. He met her, that was the mark. She's got a ton of money, clearly. She's nuts, you know. She's
right.
Because she was there, like, with her mom's ashes and stuff. And so maybe married her, found out he wasn't going to die. I need to go back and review. I'm very much making things up.
I might need to, binge that season.
Yeah.
Like,
this week. because I need to see what that dynamic was. Because now he doesn't have the terminal disease.
He's now been
treating her like shit.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's gone. These gay guys arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And this little fuckboy over here.
Last question before we move on to family karma. Do you think Jennifer was supposed to see them having sex at the end, or do you think that was something going awry?
Well, now she just keeps going in all the rooms. Like, I would not, like, I wouldn't have considered doing all that. Like, I wouldn't have kept, like, I wouldn't have been like, this door is for me to open and this door is for me to walk through, and let me walk all the way in here and look at these people having sex.
And she left them open too. I'm like, oh, you gotta cover your tracks. Like, close the door. Good Lord.
So it's like, I don't really understand why the sound of people having sex would have been so shocking to her. She's staying with gay men.
Right.
You know? So that alone, I was like, why would this awaken her and be so strange? Like,
right.
She's staying with a bunch of gays. So I would have assumed that they were fucking each other.
Right.
No, and like, didn't it seem like that guy, like Quentin was in a relation? Isn't he in a relationship with one of them?
I think so. Well, I think this was the story. Yeah. Was, at least. Yeah.
Right.
At least I would think.
So. But I forget that Tanya is also like a bit of a psychic. You know, she's got that going for her. She's kind of like, you know, she does that kind of shit too. So maybe that was what summoned her to the room.
Right.
Because I was thinking like I would never open a door and like keep walking through it. Because that door was loud.
It was, you know, it was like a big door.
You're sneaking, like you'd be like very quietly turning a knob and like
right.
She was just like opening a door and walking on in, and like in the doorway, basically just like watching them have sex. I was like, right. Are they not seeing this? They don't see her.
Maybe.
So Maybe
it
was intentional.
Right. Maybe they were looking the other way on purpose. This is such an elaborate. I don't even know.
This is such an elaborate scheme.
It is. Like, I don't even know.
I don't get it.
This is like the cop on South Park who's like this married man, but like he goes undercover as like a female prostitute, and he's like he gives out blowjobs and stuff. And then like after the guy finishes, he's like, "Freeze! You're under arrest for prostitution." It's like you didn't have to do all of that. First of all, this is like a scheme gone way too far right now.
You didn't need to commit that much,
right?
Yeah, because I as much as I like. Because part of the White Lotus that I'm getting more this season than I got last season is the part of like the choices they make cinematically are that it's fantasy. It's got an element of that, which they even did that with the way they show, like when she opens the door, like the room, the focus kind of pulls. It feels almost like we're like a dream. Like it felt like she was almost dreaming it.
Mm-hmm.
So. I was like, so do they really not see her in this doorway? Because she's in the doorway. Like, she's right there.
Right.
So I don't know the answer. They left us with so many questions.
Me neither.
They left us with so many questions.
I know. I'm just ready for the new episode.
One random thing.
Okay.
At the dinner, I'm sure it's possible that... Aubrey Plaza could have just actually been drinking red wine, but if they did makeup to give her the red wine mouth, because you know when you drink red wine, it tints the inside of your mouth. It was perfectly done on her. Now I legit don't know if they just had her drink a couple sips of red wine to get it there, but like she looked legitimately like someone who'd been drinking wine all fucking day.
Oh,
the makeup was so well done. She committed so perfectly to like this was I felt that she had been at a winery and she had been fucked up all day and she was still fucked up. And her performance in this, she better get an Emmy nom. I'm telling you that
she better.
Or I'm going to be very upset because she earned it. She is doing a fantastic job. I don't like Ethan.
I know. The tides have turned against Ethan. We'll see how the world treats him come episode 8.
I don't like him.
I need some reveals. I feel like we're going to get a lot of reveals next episode about his sex life, sex preferences, porn addiction, whatever it is. We're going to get some.
I used to think Daphne. Was the killer? I don't think anymore. I'm off of her. I don't know why. She seems more what's the word I'm looking for? Content than I gave her credit. It's because Cameron and Daphne appear to be the most fucked up.
Right.
But I'm like, are they?
Right.
They actually seem like they really love each other.
They might be like the typical East Side New York couple that, you know, there are arrangements and it's just like, listen, I know what my role is. You know what your role is. don't embarrass me out here and we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Because my kids aren't yours anyway.
Because I had a whole baby or two with my trainer that looks nothing like you.
No one even questioned the fact that she has red hair, he has black hair, and the kids are blonde hair, blue-eyed, but I love that. I love to see it.
And he doesn't, he's like, that's fine.
Right. Yeah.
And they're cool. So, so I'm going, I'm for now, as of this episode, Ethan is the killer for me. He's my number one.
Ooh, okay. I think my killer.
This is so fun.
Right.
It's like a game.
I think my killer right now. Oh, I even hate to say it, but I think it's going to be Albie.
Ooh, you went Albie? You did. Kendrick.
I know. And you know
Kendrick.
Why?
Kendrick.
Because it's more, the more and more that I think about it, you know, people are constantly saying all three of those men, the grandfather, the father, and the son, they're all the same type of fuckboy. And so I'm like, ooh, it would be so on brand if the guy that's preaching about save the planet, respect women, yada, 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 turns out to be the serial killer.
And do you think he's going to kill Lucia or Portia?
Or Jack.
Or Jack. Someone said that they thought the body, that the person in the water was
a woman. I need to go back and look.
Now, I also didn't, but then we also heard someone say, I don't know how many people are dead in the opening. Remember, they're like, she's like, how many people are dead? He's like, I don't know. There's multiple people that are dead. We need to get it out of our heads that it's one person. We need to get it out of our heads that it's one person.
Who do you think are the dead?
Okay. Tune in next week, guys.
Yes, we'll think about it.
We are going to think about it and give you our guesses. That means literally nothing.
Right. Nothing at all, people.
Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Nope.
Means nothing at all. All right. Family karma time. You guys just missed a whole dance routine if you weren't watching on YouTube. All right. It's called Drag Me to Brunch. I love that title because they give us a little double meaning. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. This scene at the Benny household, it's the Guyanese brunch, and Mike, Brian's dad, was born in Guyana. I fucking paused this shit. I made sure I knew I'm like, West India, let me pay attention. I will not get this wrong. But when he goes up and feeds the producer, it literally made me choke up.
That's what I love about this show so much, because they break the fourth wall so much, and it always has a lot of meaning to it when they do it. I'm like, oh, it's just for every season too. It always happens. They make the producers laugh and cry.
They love
everything.
The producers.
They're just good people.
Brian looks like he's really happy watching that producer take that bite. And I was like, is there a little something going on with this producer and Brian? Maybe. But Mike explains that, okay, and I actually remember when I was in college in San Francisco, there was an Indian restaurant that was Guyanese Indian food. But I was like 20 years old, so I didn't care when they were explaining that to me when I went in. I was like, do you have beer? And it's like such an asshole, you know, I didn't care.
Right.
But they explain how it's different than traditional Indian food. The spices are different. Mike is so proud of it. Dharma is so proud of it. Dharma enters in her beautiful dress, and all the boys give her life when she enters that room.
Yes.
Oh my God. They were just, I love them. I can't.
As they should.
As they should. She's such a queen.
Yes, absolutely.
I love her. All right, so everybody shows up. Chitra shows up with samosas. Reshma, Bali's mom, is there.
Who I feel like we don't see that often.
I don't think we saw her one time last season, did we?
Right. I haven't seen her in a while.
I think we're going to see more of her because we will get into that. That's so sad. I know. Raj, Monica's dad. So when we discussed last week about that, I got a lot of DMs of people saying that that was actually a big conversation amongst the fans about him being, it was a big conversation about him being absolutely in the closet.
Okay.
Yeah, but we see how much he cares about the community, the way they talk about him and the way they talk about each other. So he will, it's not a thing.
Right.
But I am going to speak my truth looking at him because, I can't lie about my eyes. But, okay. Deepak, Sean, and Dylan's dad is there.
Can I just say, I love the fact that their parents are in every episode, but they have been, fired from the show, so they are nowhere around.
They did not test well, apparently. Nope. Fuck. No. Mike is walking through the spices and the sauces. It's so cute. He's just so proud, and it's just wonderful to see this representation. And it really shows how much good content there is when you show... This is what makes America so interesting. Mm-hmm. There's a really cool Armenian culture here in Los Angeles. I grew up around it. I'm sure there's a really cool group of families that they could find here. Mm-hmm. I think it would be so much more interesting if they could find these pockets of cultures all over America, as opposed to continuing to do Housewives. I think it would just be super cool if they could just keep looking for this, because it's the it's like you have the generation that moved here and then the generation they raised in America. And so the finding out what it's like for, you know what I mean?
That that's hyphen what makes American after it.
Exactly. That's what
ABC
makes it.
ABC is, they say in Shang-Chi, American born, if they're from China, but they're now here, American born Chinese, ABC. Yes. So yeah, whole
and
thing.
That's what makes America much more interesting than people realize. And that's what representation would look like. So I think that would be a very cool route in terms of programming. It kind of writes itself.
Right,
it's like
agreed.
Shaw's, that's what made it interesting, was seeing it. You literally put a camera in the house. It's like, thank you, this is new, as opposed to forcing, storylines and shit.
Right. Can I say, speaking of, that's so such a random statement, but speaking of that, you know who I miss?
Who?
The Dubai Wives. Only because they were so, I enjoyed their first season, first of all. I love, most of the players. Well, I like Chanel and Lisa, but everyone else, I love them. But I feel like they were so, their season really ramped up as they went along. But I feel like they were so low stakes, and we just don't get that anymore, that they felt so early season like they were, that I'm really ready for them to come back. And I hope that when they come back, they're not... I hope they're not
ramped up.
Yeah.
We're season two now, and we're going to do the most.
I hope not.
I just want them to keep letting Carolyn Stanbury look stupid, because she looked so fucking stupid.
Same.
She looked real dumb.
Right.
It was so proof, too, that Carolyn Stanbury she cannot even kind of compete with Lisa and Chanel. Type of energy.
No.
She was so intimidated. She was like, can you guys please be less fabulous?
Right. That's never gonna happen.
What was that Julia chick from Ladies of London?
Juliet.
Yeah, Juliet. She's like, you're gonna need to tone that down when you're around Caroline. Lisa's like, well, that's never gonna happen. What the fuck? She's on the wrong show.
She absolutely shines amongst that group of girls, but now that you're in Dubai amongst this group, you're a B-list character at best.
Yeah, sorry. Bye-bye.
Sorry.
Kalpna, which is Sean and Dylan's mom, she's messy. She's messy. She asks if Brian is dating Avni. And Dharma, she hears that name. She hears Avni's name, and she across the room.
She perks up immediately.
She could be doing something from right all the way across the room talking to someone else, and she hears that name. She's like, what's he saying? She did not like him. Amrit texts Brian, though, and is like, come to brunch. We're going to drag brunch. And he's like, all right, bye, guys. I'm leaving.
Right. Best kind of text to get, by the way. So.
I agree. Especially if you're at a family event. Right. All right, I'm out of here now.
I've got enough
done
of aunties. Let's go. Right.
Done my part. I'm going to get wasted at drag brunch. And this, as soon as they walk in, I'm like, I can feel the day drunk. I can feel it. bottomless mimosas, do it.
I wonder when they were filming this, because such a stupid observation, but like most of them showed up in jackets. Like
I wondered Brian's the jacket same had thing. Fur. They're in Florida.
Yeah. I'm like, what is happening?
What time of year is this?
Right.
What time of year was this?
I don't know. It's got to be like February, right?
I need like context clues.
Right.
Because I was wondering the same thing. I was mm-hmm. like, it's rarely cold in Florida.
Right. So I need to know.
Yeah. The producer asked their drag names, and Amrit says, he's like, my name is Anita Richard, but you can call me Anita Dick.
Love that.
Love it. Okay. Rish texts Amrit this text. Uh-huh. Monica and I need some couple QT today, so we aren't going to make brunch. Isn't that convenient? Or inconvenient, rather, because drunk-ass Vish is going to bring up some shit on camera.
Right.
So Vish arrives. The celebration is for making partner. And, oh, my God, they flash. When they flash to them telling Amrit's parents, Amrit's parents are so deliciously cute.
Mm-hmm.
His dad, his mom, I can't. Like, I want to squeeze them till they pop. They're so fucking cute. I can't mm-hmm. handle how cute they are.
Yeah.
They're so proud of him.
The
they
most
love
supportive
him.
People on the planet.
Oh, he's so lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Amrit, but here's my problem, though. Amrit ignores the fact that his friend, Rich's his friend, uh-huh. doesn't want Vish drinking. And so he thinks it's funny to be like, you can have a drink, blah, blah, blah. You can have a drink. It's like, but your friend Richa has a fair reason to be like, no, this guy needs to prove that he's chill on the alcohol right. for a bit. Because he literally blacked out. You don't get your wedding back. That's the right. bummer about blacking out at your wedding. It's like, you don't remember it.
Right.
Like, you're not going to get it back. And you didn't sleep with me on our wedding night.
You know what? It's a negative for the average person. But then you remember like, oh, he will remember because he's on a reality show and they just documented this whole True. Thing across two episodes. But you still should have like been consummated.
That night she had to go to bed by herself.
Yeah. And you'll always remember that.
And she couldn't get a hold of him. She Ugh. Was calling him, wondering where he was, and mm-hmm. he wasn't answering. Like, mm-hmm. I would be furious on your wedding night.
Yep.
Imagine, like, the one, Ooh. Especially since you've been telling him to stop drinking the whole night. Like, stop drinking, drink water.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. You're mad. And so, but anyway, he starts drinking. They say Bali's not going to make it because she's going through something hard. And you're like, wait, what are you talking about? And they cut to Bali. And immediately she just looked like something's wrong. You can just uh-huh. feel it. And so they say, what's going on with your house? And she says, my house was sold, not by choice. Now, this was hinted to at the Watch What Happens Live, like pseudo reunion that they did.
Yeah.
When they called out Monica, because Monica said that bullshit, like, well, you were jealous of me and your mom.
Right.
To Anisha. So yeah. So Bali was like, no, that's not why. That's we were protecting you because you were hiding a relationship. Mm-hmm. Monica was like, you've been going through a bunch of stuff that you don't talk about. I think it was this. I think it was this type of shit.
Oh.
Yeah. I think she was alluding to this. And so Oof. Her Bali's shitty ex-husband said, you have to sell the house that you're living in with our daughter in order for me to pay for her tuition. That is some spiteful ass shit, man.
Right.
It's her. His daughter's house.
Right. Yes. It's so sucky when the parents can't get along, so everyone has to suffer for it. Or you're so miserable as a person that you have to do everything you can. Like, you see her on TV. You see her with her new guy that loves her and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, you're thinking, oh, well, I'm not going to be able to afford our daughter's college, so I'm going to have to sell that house you're living in. Like, you just want to embarrass her on TV is what you want to do.
100%.
Such an asshole.
Such an asshole
move.
God. So she's moving in with her parents, and mm-hmm. when she started to cry, I could not. Bali's always just been lovely, you know? And
Right. So she was like the young auntie that could like relate and talk to everybody about everything. So she's like this comforting, messy person that we love to see. And it's like, it's hard now. Like, and I don't know if she's going to let anybody be there for her, which is the thing. And it's like, oh,
Polly. She's like, I just want to be babied. I'm just tired. Mm. I was like, I bet you are. Oh, my right. God. And then, but they cut to Bali's mom at Dharma's house, and she, mm-hmm. like, her mom and her dad, Mohan, they seem like the sweetest,
yes,
most kind, amazing people. Mm-hmm. And, like, everyone in the community is so supportive. So it's lovely to know that they have that back, like, she's got that there. Like, no one's judging. Right. Everyone's like, it's fine that she lives with her parents again. Like, no mm-hmm. one is in any way. It's nice so that she right. has that, but it's still heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Brian and Anisha get to brunch, and the drag starts, and it's Juicy is performing. I mean, we're talking flips, we're talking splits, we've got it yes. all going on.
Costumes, everything. It is a whole
oh my god,
shaboyaboy.
Full drag. This is a huge club too. Like, this thing yes. was packed.
I think this is. So Kaya and Aaron, I think, have told me. I think this is the one they've told me about.
Oh, okay.
So I think they've gone for it. And if I'm not mistaken, not them, but I think someone sent me a video one time where they did a WandaVision drag brunch here, which is the ooh. Marvel show that, like, I'm obsessed with Elizabeth Olsen, the Scarlet Witch. Like, I think they did a whole, like, that themed drag show brunch one time. And uh-huh. from what I saw, a fucking amazing. So I need to get down there immediately
now,
to get to a
drag. What part of Florida
brunch.
Are they in again?
They are like, it's not Miami. They're like right outside of Miami,
right,
but like close
Miami.
Enough to go to Miami. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Bish fucking calls Richa, but I forget she's coming. So he calls right. Richa to let her know that he had a mimosa.
Ugh.
Not the move. Uh-uh. But I mean, she was going to get there and know immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So then the texting. She's like, how fucking dare you? And he's like, it was just a few drinks. First, by the way, on the phone, he said, I just had a mimosa.
Right.
Then it was just a few drinks. I'm like, this is... But then Richa walks in, and Vishal knows that he's in trouble. And Amrit knows he's in trouble. So they're trying to hand her a drink. Like, here, have a drink. Like, immediately they're trying to get her. But she is aggressively saying hi to everyone else but them. Like, she's like, mm-hmm. oh, my God, Nicholas. Oh, my God, everyone. What? Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, she has said over and over again that she's mad at Vish, and he's just trying to, like, get her to, like, let it go. I feel like we've never really seen her truly go off. She only ever does, like, her, like, smiley, like, fake letting it go thing. But I bet when she gets mad, she's terrifying.
Oh, absolutely. Because she's, like, almost passive-aggressive in a way on the show where it's, like, she, you know, she's gonna say exactly what she wants to say, but she's going to do it in a tone where it's like, are you mad? Are mm-hmm. you not? What is happening? What's that face? Like, what do you know, you're kind of like, what is happening with this? But then, oh, I know that, like, because it feels like, okay, were you getting the impression that she's using the drinking to, like, withhold signing the marriage license? Is that what's happening?
I think that the drinking has actually been a bigger problem than Vish will admit to. Okay, so since we're here now, I will mm-hmm. say, I've clocked Vish's drinking from day one.
Yes.
Day one.
Yep.
He's a very insecure person.
Mm-hmm.
And he clearly uses alcohol as, like, his personality. And I've, like, okay, let me put it this way. I get that it's fun to get drunk at your wedding, but if you've got your bride and her mom and your own parents telling you stop drinking,
uh-huh.
it should be like, no problem. I'll have some fucking water. Not a big deal. Like,
right.
it's just alcohol.
Uh-huh.
It's not a big deal. Uh-huh. But when it's like, no, I have to have it, it's like, what are you talking about? All it does is make you black out.
Right.
And I had an unhealthy relationship with alcohol. So if you spot it, you got it.
Right.
I was like, I know it. I uh-huh. know it. I know what's happening here. So I feel like she should Well, the fact that she's withholding her signature, though, I'm like, bitch, you already had a whole wedding. Sorry, girl, right. You gotta sign already. Just sign.
That's my thing. It's like, why go through with the wedding if you're gonna do
it's
this?
It's dumb to be like, maybe I won't sign. I'm like, oh, so what are you gonna tell people? You're not married?
Right.
Oh,
after
actually,
they traveled
guys,
to this wedding, really?
You're gonna tell people that you're not married.
Because I want my gift back. Give me my gift back.
I want my gift back, and like, you, okay, because we just spent 2 whole episodes on your wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I want the 2 episodes back then. Give it back.
Give them to me. Give them to me.
Because that's some bullshit. So I agree that his drinking is a problem, but you should have figured that out beforehand. Why did you get married? Was it for the show?
Right.
What the fuck?
Weird.
That's so twofold. Yes. Vicious problem. Yeah. But now you got to just sign.
Right. It's y'all's problem now, okay?
Yeah, sorry. It's too late for you to be like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, no, you already got married.
Right.
Sorry.
And why, you know what? It's hard for me to speak about. I'm not in their relationship. I'm not married either. Mm-hmm. But it feels weird that if this is such a problem, that you would put him, that y'all would like agree to go to this environment where it's a drag, bro. Obviously, everyone's going to be hammered around you. They're going to be drinking mimosas off the ad. Like, you know what this environment is. Like, why would you even put yourself, you know, like, just say, okay, you know what? We'll catch you at another celebration. We'll have you over for something like that. It feels like it's not as big as she's wanting to make it out to be, because it feels like he is like now sneaking to drink or have a
exactly.
good time, and it's like, okay, I don't know, think this is gonna work out. So
it's like they're kind of they're in the exact same place they were, so that is, to be honest, why I was surprised they were getting married. When I found out that they were going through with it, I'm like, so what's changed? Because like the last time we saw them, like, they wasn't all that great.
He proposed 3 times, didn't he, before she accepted?
It was a whole mess.
Goodness.
And so, yeah. They cut over to the aunties. They're like doing their cute dancing, but then like the guys go outside and the ladies stay inside, and I'm sorry. Raj going outside with the guys. Okay. He belongs inside with the aunties.
Oh, my God.
Like, stop it. Like, I was like, get your ass back inside and talk with the ladies, okay? Please. Oof. It was ridiculous. I'm like, I wish he could live in his truth, and I understand culturally it's next to impossible for him to accept it, but it's, let me just say something from, this is probably why it's crazy to me. Mm-hmm. In my family, I will not say the name of this cousin, he's older than me, but so I'm half Mexican, so in granted my uncle is an openly gay man with a partner of 20,000 years at this point, so
right.
It's not like the entire family is like this, but this one cousin, the area that they live in here, in it's right outside of LA, it's a small town. His mom owns a hair salon, and he has worked at said hair salon for a long time. He's absolutely, I mean, he looks like Raj. Like, they almost have the same features. They talk alike. So when I'm watching, I have to remind myself it's not my cousin.
Oh.
But it's like the Indian version of my cousin. And it's like, it's crazy, because you're like, what is happening? How are you not accepting this about yourself? But he won't quote disappoint his mom. But we're like, she's gotta know,
right?
But I guess she doesn't, but we don't, no one talks about it, no one will say it, not one person.
It's just, you know, if that's your truth, and whenever you're ready to say it, we're here to welcome you with open arms, and that's okay. And but if you're not, then not my business.
But you know, he's never had a partner. like not okay. not a woman, not a man, nobody. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, because you know, I don't know if you guys remember, but Raj and Monica's mom hated each other.
Yeah,
like they hated each other. They're mm-hmm. cool-ish now, but I was like, God damn, what happened there? Mm-hmm. So you know, I'm just like, so I just. Maybe I'm like triggered by it, and because I just like want my cousin to come out. So I'm trying, and maybe I need to separate a little bit and take it down. But I just am like, oh, he just would be. It's like the what you were looking at his Instagram, and he was at BravoCon, like with Nene, with not Nene, but obviously it was Cynthia Bailey, mm-hmm. and like he would just be thriving if he was, you know, living his best life.
Now that we talk about this, I think maybe Monica addressed this at some point, like on social media.
Because
I feel like it was
I'm sure she was
becoming a topic of discussion amongst everyone. And I don't remember what she said, but I feel like she addressed this at some point.
I'm sure she did to defend him.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's protective and she's also very traditional.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure people may think that I shouldn't. It's none of my business, but I have eyes. Kalpna once again brings up Brian and Avni because she just likes to stir that fucking pot. She, uh-huh. I'm like, you need to mind your business, okay? Uh-huh. Dharma's got this, all right?
Right.
Don't worry about Dharma, okay, and her family. Shit.
They're ready to get it. Do you feel like... Wait, who's the one that keeps bringing it? Is that the Patel mom?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do you feel like she's doing this because uh-huh. she's, like, getting a little revenge on behalf yes. of her sons?
Mm. She's coming into, like, she wants to make sure she's on the show, I think.
Right.
Where's my girl
Lopa? Is she back in Memphis just, like, not giving a damn about? Okay.
Yeah. I think she's taking a break. She's like, right. I carried season two.
Right.
Raj is out there talking about how Monica is going to move in with Rish and how he expects things to move forward in a year, though. And he goes, I'm going to tell him, you take care of my daughter or I'm going to cut your balls off. And the men like don't even know what to do. They're like,
okay,
least threatening threat.
I know. I think they had the reaction I had. I was like, child. They're like, better take that seriously.
Don't do that.
You're right.
No. No. Okay, now Monica and Rish in the kitchen. This scene.
Ooh.
She's like, so I talked to my dad about moving out together. And as soon as she said that, Raj has said, like, well, I wish there was an engagement, but I'll support anything you want to do. Rish goes, I'm just going to stop you for a second. That's when he stopped her.
Ugh.
First of all, you know I love you. Like, that's not good. Not a good right. start to this.
Mm-mm.
Second of all, I'm going to be very open and honest with you. The real estate market is bananas right now.
Get the fuck out of here.
So I don't know that I see it happening in the next 1 month or anything like that. Monica's like, so you made me ask my parents for, like, nothing?
Right.
And then he's like, well, no, I'm not saying, like, if we find a deal, we're going to take it. Because
there are
the
so many deals on real estate in Miami. So, of course, go ahead and find it.
It's okay. And then the producer in the confessional is like, I thought you wanted her to move in. And they go flash to last week, him saying he wanted to be under one roof. And he's like, yeah, no, I'd like to move in ASAP, but I think my place right now is small for the both of us, and I want something new.
This getting, you know, I've always been a Rish fan, but this is getting icky.
Thankfully, Monica smartly asks outright. Well, she doesn't first ask outright, but he makes her. He's like, what are you trying to say? She's like, what's my role in your life?
Right.
Are we just going to continue the whole dating thing? Are we going to move in together? Are we going to get married? And Rish says, chill out. The editors put like a whole like a drum beat, like, and now it's on. Like, don't tell.
I'm a man, so and mad? I was mad on Monica's behalf, just so we're clear. Like, get And you know, we've openly discussed that Monica is not our favorite on this show.
But like, don't.
But no, we hate her. Now that felt like blatant gaslighting. Like, you literally just told me to go and ask these people, would it be okay if I moved in with you? And now you're like, well, the real estate market is so bad. You're Ethan. Rich
you're
Ethan.
Ethan.
You're Ethan. Goodness.
Wow. But and then in Monica's confessional, she's like, every time I bring this up, like, you know, are we going to get engaged? He's like, well, you know, aren't you supposed to be like surprised by the whole proposal thing? So I just feel like, you know, then maybe I'm crazy. So I let it go. Like, oh, so he's fully gaslighting you into thinking you're the crazy controlling one. See how this is working?
Girl.
See?
Abort, so, abort.
Abort. So back at the drag brunch, here's the best part. Vish asks Amrit, he's like, hey, how about those texts you sent me, huh? About what Rich was saying or what Rich's, whatever, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Amrit clearly does not remember sending those texts. Mm. And in this moment, realizing that cameras are up, he's like, huh? Fuck.
Whoopsie.
He is like, different. Nope, not, doesn't want to, like, he's like, no, abort. And they are wasted. You could just tell they are so drag queen brunch wasted. Mm-hmm. A very specific type of wasted.
Oh, yes.
It's a blackout.
That is
daytime.
Champagne wasted, baby. Oh, yeah.
Done. You are mm-hmm. done. And Brian and Anisha are absolutely going to want to know what they're talking about. But I like how Nicholas gets a little messy because he can't quite hear what's happening. So he's like, can I know what's happening and see why you're getting all upset? Like, what's going on? And right. he immediately jumps into it because he doesn't know, like, that they don't want to talk about that Amrit doesn't want to talk about it. So yes. he's like, oh, yeah, Nirsha had some things to say about Monica and Rish.
Whoops.
He immediately says it.
Here we go. Gloves off. Let's talk about it. It's out there now. Let's talk about it.
But finally, Amrit doesn't want Nicholas, I think, to have all the fun. So he's like, she might think that Rish is being unfaithful to Monica. Like, he wants to get it out. He's like, I want to say it. It's my line.
That would have been like the SVU, like, boom, boom, like that moment right there. Like, good Lord.
The credits roll.
That's the moment we've been waiting on, people. Ooh, and after that scene we just witnessed, I believe it.
It's like the fact that it's happening at the same time. So Anisha is like, you know, not even Monica deserves this, but she's like, she's like, but I can't tell her because it'll just seem like I'm making this up. So mm-hmm. I can't say anything. So anyway,
I wouldn't have told her, but I absolutely would have been there when she was told. I would have been like, I was there. I heard it. I'll back it up. Yep. He said it. They said he cheating on you. You ain't got nobody. You single like me. I would have been right there. Like, no, you're not about to have all the fun. You're not going to say that my mama likes you better than she like me and expect me not to enjoy this. Baby. Nope. Nope. Sorry. Boop. Nope. Not doing that. Mm-mm. Nope, sorry.
Oh my god. Dude, on nope. they leave the venue. On their way out, Brian eats something off another table.
I'm glad you said that because I was looking like, was that there? Were they sitting at that table? I'm like, no, they were
nope. Not.
It's stuff like that like drops people's attractiveness in my eyes.
I'm like,
worse than like a bad haircut. It's germs, like, that is gross. Right.
Still COVID. Nope.
All these variants out here and you eating out of...
It's not good. It's bad. Ugh. It's real bad.
Good Lord.
Real bad. Real, real bad. All right. Monica and Rish, back to them. So she's still asking. She's still asking, like, so what about marriage? What about this? And I feel like she just kind of beats him down until he goes. The way he says this, he's like, I feel like, you know, what you're saying, I feel like we are aligned in terms of wanting marriage eventually. Like, that is vague.
Very.
And he goes, what we have is very special. And I don't know if I'll be able to find that with anyone else. Does that not sound like, I kind of just want to keep fucking around.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to find a woman like you.
It sounds like grass is probably always going to be greener, so I'm going to keep going over to that lawn.
Yeah. Like, I know you're special, so I don't want to ruin that, but, mm-hmm. like, I don't want to settle down, so.
Right.
That's what that sounds like, in every which way. Gross.
Yeah.
So, anyway. moving on to Anisha's grandparents. Her grandpa just wants vodka all the time.
Right. Right.
Literally all the time.
We love him.
We love him. I love how they order Domino's, like, a lot.
It I know.
Made me want Domino's.
It did.
And it's you a know good what? Advertisement.
I was thinking, I was like, I wonder if they're going to have meat on this chicken at all. And there was no meat. Mm. I figured, I was like, there's probably going to be no meat. Not even, like, chicken or anything. Like, there's probably going to be no meat. And there was no
meat. There was no meat. They put a lot of spice on that shit. They put some chili flakes. They put some peppers.
Uh-huh.
They made that shit as spicy as possible.
Ooh.
Anisha is having a scene where she calls, she FaceTimes, and she's like, I'm just debating how I should handle the latest news about Monica and Rish. By simply having this conversation, she's giving it more life on camera. Because then she also had
a
conversation.
Knows she is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She also had a conversation with Bali about it on camera. So she knows what she's doing.
Yep.
She's not able to be there physically, so she's doing a lot of FaceTime scenes.
I love that the meme, I think I saw it on Twitter, where someone was like, Anisha showing up. She's like, I was bored, so I ruined lunch purposely, and I had a great time doing it. Like,
literally.
Same. There we go.
All right, now Brian goes on his date. First, he's getting ready. He talks about how he wants. He's like, I want to do a YouTube channel, like how to do the best date when I have like a GoPro cam on and like then people give me tips and like improvements. And the producer goes, I can't tell if you're being serious.
He's like, oh, 100%. I absolutely am.
Absolutely serious.
I love those little moments like before
me
they
too.
Start the scenes. They just like showed them like talking or something and when he did that weird sneeze, I cracked up so hard.
It was so cute.
He was like, please don't leave that in there.
He sneezed. He goes, don't use that. That one was weird. Him dancing in the car, I was like, yes, he's hot. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Richa calls. And at first I was like, why is Richa calling? But I forget that she's friends with Avni.
Right,
so
yeah.
That's like where that was.
Her confessional look too. Go on. Yes.
She looks completely different in the confessional versus like in scene.
The
lighting got
this.
Her right.
Did you watch this past Married to Medicine reunion?
Yes.
Her was that the same dress that Quad had on at the reunion?
Oh. It might
Think
be.
Back,
good point.
I'd say.
Yeah, good point. It might be. Yeah, that it did
so.
Look familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it was she turned it out.
Yes,
for that.
Very Vegas, very cha cha cha.
Yeah, her hair. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Yes,
gorgeous.
It's good.
His drink comes in a full flamingo. I wonder if he could keep that. Cause I was like,
right.
I bet those get stolen all the time.
I know.
Yeah, people are putting that in their purse.
I was just about to say, I probably wouldn't even have a purse, but I would absolutely put
just
it in my
put
purse
that,
and
put
walk
that
out.
Under your sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you very much, goodbye. And it's like,
right.
They're like, once again.
They're like, sir, what is that? I'm like, I'm pregnant. Sorry.
They're like, is it the flamingo cup? Because everyone tries to take them. They're
like
yeah,
yep, it is.
It
is. Yeah. It is.
I bet they take ID. Like, we need collateral. Give us your ID
right.
if you're going to order that drink.
Like, these cups cost $25 a pop.
No, I'm having PTSD from when we had at one of my jobs, we got these amazing glasses for these fucking margaritas
mm-hmm.
and they kept getting stolen. And literally we took collateral to give them out.
Oh my. We go to this amazing Mexican restaurant that's like 10 minutes from my house. It is. Oh my God. It's so good. But when you go there, they have certain nights where they do like, they'll give you like the margarita, like frozen margarita. They do like these, like signature margaritas, like so many different flavors. They'll give them to you in like that big ass Patron bottle.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's like a whole thing. But like, I've seen people try to take those. They're like, no, don't. Let's not do that. Like, we need those. Cause think about how heavy those damn jars are. Like, that's
yes.
That's a heavy
that's
ass bottle.
That's a hard
bottle.
Thing to steal.
Right.
That's
you gotta
to,
calm down,
to
people.
Sneak out,
right? Calm down, everyone.
As soon as Avni starts feeling Brian's arm, I was like, "Oh, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's she's done for."
Yep,
they're fucking. I was like, the way he was smiling at her from across, I was like, I'm melting, and he's not even looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was on a date with this man, I would be like, bathroom, let's go. Like, I don't even, like, I have no shit. Like, this man, panty dropper. His smile, mm-hmm. forget it.
Yep.
Oof. It's too much. Jamie Stein, if anyone doesn't know who Jamie Stein is, he is another podcaster and content creator, but he started to watch Family Karma.
Mm-hmm.
And literally within a couple minutes, he's like, so please don't tell me Brian turns into an asshole because I love him. Like, oh,
yes.
Don't worry. No, he's good. He's just, you know, a man child, but he's
right.
He's fine.
We love Brian.
He's
Brian.
A lovely, lovely man. Yes.
There's no one on this show that I like hate. I just like, I find everybody so like endearing in their own way.
Totally.
Monica, we have our issues.
Monica, we have our issues. Rish.
Yes. Rish, we looking at you a little crazy.
Rishy,
but,
we got problems.
You know. Uh-huh.
But yeah, no one's like you don't hate anyone.
Right.
No one's an outright villain.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Anisha, not Anisha. That's not Anisha. Emily, Bali, get your notes together. Bali meets Amrit for nails, and she shows up in this big t-shirt, just like, you can tell she's so defeated.
Yeah.
But Amrit gives her the gay life that he should. He goes, mm-hmm. let me see, too glam to give a damn, like, still love it. And she's just mm-hmm. like, she can barely pull herself out of bed.
Oh.
It's so sad, because you just feel it. You can feel it on her. She's just so different from last season.
Yeah.
Bali's trying to talk about the Monica Rish thing. She's like, so what did I miss at brunch?
And right, Amrit's she's trying, like, to sneak it, yeah, in so hard.
Amrit's like, you know, I made partner. She's like, great, cool. He's like,
right,
yeah, good drag show. Love it. Great. Richa got mad that Vish was drinking. Okay.
She's like, come on.
Anything else?
You know, Monica, what's funny? What? Is that she probably didn't even know that, like, that whole thing was to celebrate him getting partner. She probably had no idea about that. She probably only knows that, like, Monica and Rish stories. Yeah. So she's like, all this shit you're telling me, I mean, that's great. I don't care. But, like,
move
come
along.
On. Like, let's get to it. Like, you know what I want to talk about.
Literally,
you know.
She goes, Monica and Rish didn't come. And he goes, no, they couldn't make it. Still nothing. So she finds, like, okay, Anisha told me.
He goes,
I regret bringing it up. I blame it on the mimosas. And Nicholas and I are going to talk to them. And she's like, good. Because honestly, it's like, it's going to get out there. This travels fast. And Monica's been super sweet during her whole moving experience.
Mm.
And so that's good to know that they squashed whatever issues they had. And that Monica's been sweet. So good. Okay, cool. Copy that. Got mm-hmm. it. Now we go to Avni's house. Richa goes over. So they are good friends. They are good friends, mm-hmm. like besties. Mm-hmm. And my notes say, in her confessional, hair in all caps. It
yes.
was like jasmine
it was
all the
good.
Way to the ground. It was like,
we're giving Rapunzel. It was good.
Wow. Like, mm-hmm. stunning. And her line, I have the body of a Victoria's Secret model and the mind of a Mensa member.
Yes.
Okay.
We love that.
But Richa then discusses how Vish drank at brunch. And this is where she talks about how his Crohn's gets really flared up.
Which now, I forget a lot about, too.
Me, too. He never talks
mm-hmm.
about it.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big fucking deal. Like,
right.
Yeah. So... And then, but she is also probably, she says it a little bit, but she is dancing around the fact. She's like, I've seen his drinking get worse over the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, so I don't want to sign my name to a piece of paper. And this is, we go back to, girl, I'm sorry. You just sign it. It is too late for you
right.
to say you're not married.
Like, girl,
unfortunately,
you
got to just sign it. And it,
Like, I know you don't need a witness. You had like 1,000 there, so you don't need a witness to sign this.
Sign it, and then
just sign it.
You already are in the mess. You've already committed.
You're there.
You're in it. This piece of paper is just a formality. What are you gonna, seriously, are you going to legitimately tell everybody that you're not actually married?
Right.
Really?
Hang it up flat screen. Hang it up flat screen.
Get out of here. Whatever. Okay, bye bye. Richard, because sometimes Richard does, like, she's her and Vish. Vish is the easier one to be like, he's such an idiot. I get right. it. Like, I get it. But she also, she's got her flaws.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of them. Mm-hmm. Okay. She wants to play so tough. I'm like, but you married him.
Right.
And now you're going to be like, I'm not signing this piece of paper.
What a weird thing to hold over someone's head. It's like, well, I've gone through the ceremony. So, like, I signed it or not, I mean, I'm still married. So
no one is like, that's right, girl. That's right. Girl, yes. No, you don't sign that piece of paper. No right. one is saying that to you.
No.
It's like,
not at all.
Oh, is Lopa like, that's right. Lopa's probably even like, okay. I bet even Lopa is telling you look crazy.
Right.
Please.
Girl.
Bye-bye. Okay, so Vish offered Brian meet for dinner. Fucking Vish orders a drink right off the top. He's like, I'm not going to tell Richa. I'm like, this is dumb. You are so stupid.
Goodness.
Also, what's the point of one drink? I really, like, you're to sneak one drink? What's the
right.
point?
Right.
You're not going to get that drunk. Like, right. then just don't.
It's got to be something you just like the taste of. Otherwise, it's like, what are you doing? You're just spending $15 for nothing.
That's a
out the window.
It is. So, that was one of the best things about quitting drinking. I was like, it is so much less expensive to go out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Brian wants to. Brian's like, so the whole Rishi Monica thing, I'm just like wondering who should be the one to tell Rishi. Amrit's like,
love this.
The fact that you even thought it should be you is just crazy. Brian's like, I'm just trying to figure out who. I'm not sure.
Mm.
Immediately, Amrit's like, so did you already tell him? Like, you already told him.
He literally could have, he gave him an out, and he still's like, no, I didn't tell him anything.
I'm just wondering, like, who should do it? And he's like, okay, as soon as we left the brunch, I called Rishi.
I love this.
I now, called okay. him.
Valid. I think the producer asked a super valid question. What do you think Brian's motives were for calling him? Do you think it was just like, hey, I'm your friend, this is being discussed right now? Or was it like, motherfucker, you better get on top of this before?
Well, his answer was a little sus. So the producer says, were you trying to buy Rish some time to do damage control? And Brian says, pause, like, no, I don't think he's got anything on his phone.
Oh. Who mentioned the phone?
I didn't think about that.
Right.
I thought just get ahead of it. That's what I thought. Okay, I didn't think about the phone. So when he said that, I was like, oh. So, got it. Okay.
Right.
Got it.
So now all you right. got to go through his phone. So.
So, yeah. So I do think it was to get ahead of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me look at Brian sideways. I'm like, damn it, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
I know. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I don't know if there's much benefit to give.
Because, like, what the fuck? Why would you? Because the only reason to call as soon as you leave that brunch is to let your boy know, right?
Right.
Like, put yourself in that position. If you kind of know your boy might be doing, you know, because you know how you know what it's like when you go out and you guys go clubbing together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that they get some phone numbers sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's Nirja saying, I don't think he's faithful. And you're going to call immediately, be like, hey, Nirja went out with Amrit. They got drunk. And she said that you're cheating on Monica.
Oof.
Right. See, away.
I know for a fact as a friend, I won't say what of my, you know, who of my friends were, you know, I needed to do this for. But I remember back in the day when a friend would tell me, hey, if, you know, my lover calls looking for me, just, you know, say I'm asleep in the other room or, you know, just whatever the case. And we were very good about, you know, I would miss the first call. I would text them and be like, hey, I'm about to call you. And then we're going to call him back. So like, I would get them on three way. We would call. And then I'm like, hey, you call me? Yeah, it's so-and-so with you. Yeah. Let me talk to her. Okay, hold on. And then she just wait a couple seconds. She'd be like, hello. And then she start talking as if she was in the house and said, I'm not condoning this. I know it was a whole, you know, I've grown as a person. I don't facilitate such mess anymore, but you know, I mean, it happened. So Brian, we see each other. I'm just saying we see each other.
So yeah, I have a feeling there was some truth to it. So there we go.
Bloop.
Well, we shall see next week how that goes down.
No. Sunday is just a good night of television.
I agree. I love Sunday nights. Love.
It helps to curb the Monday scaries, okay?
It's
true. Sunday scaries, I guess. Whatever.
They should be called Monday scaries.
Right.
I guess,
Sunday
has done
nothing to us.
I guess they happen on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. But that sucks.
But the Mondays are
Monday is the evil.
Monday is what's doing it. Anywho, all right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Love you. Mean it. Bye.
You guys know where you can find me. Follow me on Instagram at realitycomics2. That's T-O-O. Come for the memes. Stay for the ramblings and my stories. Find me on all available podcast platforms. Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeart, all of the places. Reality and Comics 2. I would love to have you. Rate both of us 5 stars. Give us great reviews. You know, you can rate on Spotify now. People forget, but you can. So head on over there now.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to support me, please go to buymeacoffee.com/shespeaksbravo and buy me a coffee or two or five. Also, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, She Speaks Bravo with Emily Hanks. And if you haven't already, please rate, review, and subscribe to the pod. Thank you guys. I'll see you on Instagram or TikTok at She Speaks Bravo. Bye.
Hey, Troy and Kelly here, and we are the hosts of Beyond the Blinds podcast, where you'll get all your celebrity gossip needs.
We'll take you beyond the celebrity blinds and dive deeper into the dark side of Hollywood.
This podcast is full of scandal, intrigue, and gossip surrounding your favorite celebrities.
Listen now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't be rotted.